Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about one of the biggest mistakes teachers make in their lessons. Hey there, lovely teachers. Today I want to tell you about the number one mistake that I see teachers making. And yes, I know that's a bold statement, but I stand by it. I think this is one of the biggest mistakes in most teachers' lessons. So this is something I've seen again and again in my own teaching, for sure. I'm absolutely guilty of this. And in other teachers' work as well. So from watching lesson videos, from hearing teachers about their own experiences, this is the number one mistake I see that affects teaching, okay? Not the business side of things, not the organization, the teaching element. So the mistake is easy to tell you, and I'm not going to, like, tease you about it this whole time. The mistake is easy to tell you. The fix is what we want to focus on mostly today. The number one mistake I see is telling. It's easy to tell you about because I'm just telling you. It's telling. It's telling students stuff instead of teaching them or instead of other things. Whenever we default fall back into telling students things, I think we've made a mistake. And we're all going to do it sometimes. Even the most experienced teachers are not going to be perfect with this. But I think if we can aim to take down the telling, I think we can always be improving our teaching. So before we get into how to fix it, what do I mean? This is when we literally tell the student something. So, hey, you see that symbol there? That's a sharp. It means we play this note here. Has the student really learned that? Maybe because it was short, but maybe not too. And I've seen this happen in much, much longer ways. So I'll use a recent example anonymously from a teacher who was teaching major chords. And she told them all the major chords. All 12. Does a student then remember that at the end? I mean, no, like, unless there's some kind of savant. No, telling is not teaching. So how do we fix it? Because I'm sure you're doing some telling in your teaching. I still am. We all still are. But it's not teaching. So let's think about how to fix it. One of the ways you can get to the root of this and cut out some of your telling is to try and make your default asking a curious question instead. So, how can we bring curiosity into that situation rather than just telling the student about that thing? Yes, it will take longer, but over the long term, it won't take longer. It will be a shortcut because they will actually learn it. So you need to ask the student a question. Some would call this a guiding question, but I like curious questions because I think it's more broad. We're asking them something to hopefully spark their curiosity to get them to think. Now, we're not saying, what do you think that symbol means? Because they've never seen a sharp before. Like, how would they know that unless there's an info box on the page? And that's not really very curious. That's just reading off a page. But can we ask them questions that guide them to think about the fact that we haven't encountered any way of using the black keys from notation? How are we going to rectify that, you know? Every time you almost tell a student something, see if there's a way to ask a curious question instead. And that'll eliminate, I'd say, about 25% of your telling you can convert to a curious question. Number two, everybody's least favorite, but I'm not going to stop saying it. You need to record yourself, take a video of your lesson, and take editor's notes. So the trick to this is not the technology. A lot of people, when I bring this up, gets hung up on the technology. Oh, but what will I use to record it? And I use my phone in lessons, so I can't use that, and blah, blah, blah. Sure, you need to sort out the technology. That's not actually the biggest factor. The biggest factor for making use of this is splitting your personality. So when you're recording the lesson, If you do it enough, if you record enough, you'll be able to just forget the camera is there. You will just teach like a normal human you. Okay? At first, maybe you won't. And at first, maybe your students will ask questions about it, but you can just say, oh, that's just for my records. Like, it's not monitoring you or judging you in any way if they're asking a lot about it. Many students, if I just say, I'm just recording that because we need to be able to check our teaching later, they will just let it go. Some will do a, you know, a wave or a goofy face, and then they'll let it go. So those things are not actually what stand in your way. It's the splitting your personality part. So when you're recording your lessons, when you're in your teaching, you are teacher mode, and you're not distracted by the video camera at all. If you do it enough, that will be able to be true. The harder part is when you're watching it, and you do have to watch it back. Recording your teaching does nothing if you don't watch it yourself. I'm sorry. But you have to watch it back. And when you're watching it back, you have to completely split yourself from yourself and become Editor Lisa. Okay? So Editor Lisa, or your name, or you could, you know, call her Pam. Call her a different name than yourself. The editor version of you, your editor, is not you. They are not the teacher that sat there. And so they're not going to say, oh my God, I can't believe I wore that top. Oh my God, my hair looks awful that day. Or, oh, I hate the sound of my own voice. Now, you will say all these things initially, but you're going to get over it. I promise. Over time, you'll get over it. You'll get used to listening to yourself speak. Yes, it sounds weird at first, but hey, that's life. We need to just work through things sometimes and stick with things, right? Like our students do with learning to play piano. So you stick with it. You get over watching yourself, and then you find your editor mode. And your editor mode is watching that analytically and maybe pausing it sometimes and thinking, how could I have edited what I just said? So sometimes you can edit it by removing some filler words, like, oh, that sentence took me a really long time to come out with, and the student actually looked quite bored, and I could have said three words. Like, that's often true, that extreme. And then there's also the moments where you catch yourself just telling a student something. You can delete it or you can replace it, but like, literally take notes. This is how I would edit this. If I was able to redo this lesson, which I'm not, but I also am because I teach more lessons every week, this is what I would change about how I said this. And the next time you teach that lesson, you won't perfectly come out with the exact edited version. You're just taking those notes, digesting them, and repeating that process over time, and you will eventually digest a lot of that information and start saying the thing you think is almost the perfect thing to say right away. Number three, in terms of getting rid of the telling from your teaching, is to make a rule with yourself and try to stick to it as thoroughly as you can. And that is, you never tell a student anything without an action attached to it. So, you don't just give them information, you actually instruct them. And this is hard for some teachers to break, because we're so focused on fixing a lot of the time in our teaching, right? We're thinking, oh, I need to fix that, I need to fix that, the student's wrists are too low, I need to fix that, the student isn't playing with good dynamics, I don't like the way they did that crescendo, I don't like... That's kind of our job. We're trying to fix them all the time. But make sure you're actually fixing something. It doesn't help to just, you know, someone finishes a project. Let's say they made a table. And they've made the table. You look at it with them at your friend's house, made this lovely table. And you say, yeah, I really would have mitered that join differently. And I would have done this and I would have done that. Anyway, great table. Let's go. They can't redo the table. So... shut it, you know, just leave it. You don't need to criticize it. You don't need to change it. There's no point. It's one thing to give students feedback that they can actually act upon. It's another to just tell them things because you're thinking about it. That's different, and it's not helpful. So in a piano lesson, this looks like a student finishes a piece and we've decided they're finished with it, okay? So we're going to move on. We're going to put the sticker on it. We're going to take the tab off the side and take it off their practice list. But... before we do these things, we can't help just saying, okay, so the dynamics really aren't perfect and that phrasing could be improved, so that's something we'll work on in future pieces, and you really should remember to do the pedal there, and then not letting them do it. You know? I've seen this happen. I'm sure I've done it too. We just have to get it off our chest. And that's not good enough. That's not what our students deserve. You don't have to get it off your chest. You can write it down in your own notes and get it off your chest that way. You can tell your partner or your dog about it later. You do not have to tell that student because they can't fix it. And all you've left them with is, we're moving on from this piece, even though it's not good enough. That's not a good feeling. The final one for today, this is a subject we could explore forever, but for today is to try to understand, get to the bottom of the difference between explaining something to a student and telling them. So if we explain to them, it should involve them asking little clarifying questions or repeating things back to us in a different way. If we tell them, they can maybe parrot back what we just said, but they're not really taking it in most cases. So explaining is a two-way process, really. It involves the student's understanding and involvement in that. So explaining is a two-way process, really. It involves the student in that. It's like a conversation, even though you might be talking more than them, it still has a give and take. Telling them is just you trying to impart wisdom upon a student. I'll give you an example of explaining versus telling, or I'll give you another example of telling, basically. You know dotted notes, yeah? You know those? When I was a student, I could tell you the definition of a dotted note. For a long time, like from my first teacher, I remember that I could parrot back. The dot adds half the value of the note onto itself again. That's the way I said it. Did I know what that meant? No. Like, I knew that a three-beat note was three beats. But I didn't have a different way of saying that. Like, I couldn't have rephrased it for you. So I didn't understand it. I couldn't have taught it to someone else. I could just tell you the definition. And that's often the result of telling instead of explaining something to a student. So this is not an exhaustive list. How have you removed some of the telling from your lessons? I've given you four ideas. I hope you'll take them on and use whichever one's most useful for you today. But I'd love to hear your ideas too. How do we tell less and teach more? Vibrant Music Teaching members get 5 new games or resources at least every single month that keep them inspired and wanting to become a better teacher each and every day. If you want to join the best community of teachers online, you can go to vmt.ninja and sign up today.